Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. And my name is Elisa. And right now, it's just me because I have not seen or heard of Liz coming in. So I'm flying solo today. And I want to make sure everyone can actually hear me. So I know, Raven, I see you in the chat room. Let me know if you can hear me. I actually have a new microphone happening. So here we go.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Better late than never.
You can hear me. That's good. No, I was just telling everybody I have a new headset.
You sound good.
I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure that I could be heard. I haven't tried. I just got it yesterday afternoon. So.
We love a headset. Good morning.
Yeah.
So we haven't done this. It's been so crazy the last couple of shows, but we'll start with you. Oh, well, obviously we started the show. You have a headset. I'm late, but yay, you know who we are. Okay. So we'll start with you, Elisa. Three things you're grateful for.
Okay. The first thing is my niece Isabel.
Oh.
just being able to spend time with her and to see her grow every day has been amazing. And, you know, she's the pictures I usually post. She's, you know, smiling. She's incredibly cute, got the dimples, but she isn't always smiling. She's got her full range of emotions and moods. So, it's been nice to not feel that extra pressure of, oh my God, you know, oh, what's wrong with her? You know, that I imagine if you are the actual parent, that you're looking at everything. And for me, like, you know, I obviously do care about her and I want her to feel, you know, very loved and supported and comfortable as she can be. But, you know, I'm also not under a microscope, but putting her under a microscope, like looking at every little thing. So it's just allowing her to be and allowing her to figure out, you know, how is she actually feeling? And so that's been really good. And then we kind of be lumped in the same, but separate would be my brother and sister-in-law. So second thing, because they're really not letting a lot of other people see Isabel. And you know, my brother's trying to make sure I have food. He's so much like, you know, every other, you know, woman in our family. It's like, you need to eat. So he likes to make sure that it's like, you know, let's do this. Let's get food, or you know, are you going to stay for dinner?
So beautiful.
I really liked it that he's doing that. And then a third thing would be just, you know, I guess we could just say spirit and allowing my 3-month-old Isabel, you know, the niece, just to kind of explore and feel what she's feeling. The things that are coming to me and, you know, how I'm feeling or how maybe I'm struggling to understand certain things or seeing connections, just having little clues or gentle nudges kind of show up and letting me deal with them, you know, letting me follow whatever my curiosity sends me. I'm like, okay. But I like how that's unfolding. You know, I think it would be very easy to want to just say, oh, I need to ask somebody and not that there's anything wrong with asking, but to give yourself the time to, one, really know what it is that you're feeling and making sense of what it is you're seeing. Mm. And then just letting your intuition guide you as you uncover answers for yourself.
Yeah.
And just taking that time to do that.
Girl.
It makes for a lot of late nights, a lot of looking at different, reading different things, looking at different things, seeing, you know, seeing and mostly feeling
mm-hmm.
where some of these points of view are coming from, and maybe why, like for me, it triggers stuff that happened years ago, you know, or mm-hmm. maybe not even like an event that's happened, but maybe an article or a movie or a book or a theme that I remember from years ago.
Uh-huh.
And to make those connections and see how deep some of the stuff runs, it's pretty
yeah.
interesting.
Very, yeah. I like all, and you know, it's so great when you're talking about your brother, how wonderful that in his evolution and his growth and his willingness to be open, how so much healing, like when he really became or reached his standard of what it meant to be a man, in my opinion.
Right.
Energetically, you know, I'm just the energy chick, so I'm picking up on him. Then everything lined up. When he let go of all of the nonsense, he created
mm-hmm.
space for this beautiful chapter in his life that you're part of. And so much
yeah.
can be healed. I think that's so great. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. No, that's great. So three things I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for the New York City bus system, and I'll tell you why. So they have they have figured out a way to social distance on the city bus, which means you go through the back and it's free. So we love free. And excuse me, we love free. And also it's very civilized. And I had done a car service last week or week before last to visit my mom. And I discovered that the bus was something viable. I've been sort of not thinking that public transportation would be an option because it's been so frightening here. Or all over the place, it's frightening, but here in New York. And when I was getting ready to take the car service back home, I saw a bus, and I'm like, oh, it's empty. Oh, I heard it's free. Let me just see. So I get in the back. I'm like, oh, I can do this. Thank you. So what I've been doing, because the weather's been really, really nice, and it seems that although New York is in phase one, we will probably will be the part of the country that's going to open up the slowest.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's word on the street seems to hint at that. So in terms of adaptation, I can't wait for things to, quote, unquote, go normal because that will maybe – that's not going to happen in how things were before coronavirus to now. So you know me because you have visited me in New York many, many times. This girl loves to walk, and that has certainly gotten a little bit – compromised. Yes, I have taken walks, but there's still a component of uncertainty, a little fear. I'm much more used to it, but New York has reverted back to its grittiness and its uncertainty. So it's important to really be aware of your surroundings. So what's great is that I will take a walk. I'll be near the bus route. I have the app on my phone. If there's a bus that's like less than a 5-minute wait, I wait for that bus, get off at any random stop, walk around in a different neighborhood that's not mine, and I walk home.
Nice.
So I'm so grateful for grateful for the New York City bus system because it's sort of normalizing-ish the adventure of living in New York City and that I need to be out and about. So I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for my household coming out of New York was doing so much better post-looting that the mayor cut the curfew by a day because it was like a week curfew. And therefore I was able to, so I'm grateful for the household and things being safer. I was able to take the bus and visit a friend of mine that has a private roof deck. And I got to be in her garden, and we had a little barbecue, and she had Prosecco. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, I felt like, you know, the painting with the big eyes with the circles under the eyes, like the little waist, like, please, sir, can I have some more Prosecco? Okay. And I think the third, so yay. So that was, I mean, for her, she works very hard, and she's a very, very successful psychologist and really handy to have a friend who's a shrink, but it's like not your shrink. Yay. So adore her. We had so much fun, and it was her and her boyfriend, who is a judge. Thank you. So, yeah, I have all these smart friends. I don't know what they're doing with me. I got you. You're like an academic philosophy major. Who are these people? And then I'm like, yay, hey. Hey, girl, how you doing? So, anyway, grateful for that. And I would say a great segue is to say I'm grateful for two other friends of mine that are in my building, because out of just having so much fun having these weekly dinners, I said, I have to produce a podcast. So we have two episodes. I know you listened to at least one of them, Elisa, right. And I thank you for that. And it's called The Coping, COPING, like COVID, Coping in NYC podcast. And it is, explicit. If you don't like the F-bomb, this is not for you. This is not for you. But basically, it's three New Yorkers quarantining in the same building, talking about life and talking about how we're coping. And it's been a lot of fun to put together. And I'm not technically savvy, but it's forcing me out of my comfort zone, because I basically, like, you know how you run the controls and everything for our podcast, and Anna takes care of, like, the technical stuff. Because I can't see, and if this was like not happening during the virus, I would have one of my dear friends who's very tech savvy. I would have them, like, I'd cook them dinner and get them drunk, and they would like do the post production stuff for me as I'm cooking them dinner. Like, that's how this producer rolls. You get them drunk and then they do what you want. But I can't do that. So it's been forcing me out of my comfort zone in the technical space. But something so beautiful, when I was on my way to record episode 2, which was a very highly charged episode, it was in the height of the whole protest going on recently. We recorded that episode just this past Thursday and launched it on Saturday. What was so beautiful, as I was leaving to go to my friend's apartment to record the podcast, my older son, who is friendly with both of them, he said, I want to help you on the podcast. So I almost fainted. I'm like, excuse me, are you talking to me or the other cool mom? Oh, me. Oh. And so he's helping out. So we have a little commercial at the top for Anchor, who is the podcast host. So my son does the voiceover for that, and he's helping me with the post-production. So yay. And couldn't be happier or more grateful for that. But yeah, if you guys don't mind the F-bomb and you want to hear three obnoxious New Yorkers talk about life, and you might laugh, you might cry, you might want a cocktail, Check it out. It's on many. It's not on iTunes yet, but it's on like 10 other podcasting platforms. Spotify being one of them, Anchor being another. But anyway, check it out. All right, and if you want information about that, you can email me here at loablend@gmail.com if you want to learn more about the Coping, Co-Ping, in NYC podcast. So, yeah, look what happens. Like we need to create and do things. So, I really
That's
can't.
Great.
Yeah, thanks. I really can't go out and about, and it's. I love that it's unfiltered. It's not asking of anything, meaning it's not a call-in show. It's just three neighbors talking. And what's interesting is I've known my neighbor Susie, oh, my God, at least about, I guess, a good 10 years. We've been in the building about 20 years, but I know her as a friend about 10 years. And her boyfriend Jimmy, who you've met them, Jimmy, who we went to college together, and it's just coincidence that they've been on and off for 12 years, but very much on now, and they're quarantined together in the building. So, but they don't know that I do this podcast because he's an atheist. She's very spiritually open-minded, but especially when you and I started doing this podcast over 10 years ago, it's very different than what it's looking now, where I was still in the process of understanding all these energies and information coming through, and that whole channeling space that has now been much more integrated. And that was pre-mediumship, so it's a whole other. It's not that I'm not going to tell them, but it just never occurred to me to tell so many people because I myself didn't know what was going on.
Sure.
But I've told complete strangers about this podcast. I tell lots of people that I know 2, 3, 4 years know about my podcast. It's weird. It's like when I know to talk about it, I talk about it. So, but the other one, I can really whore myself about the other one because it's just crazy entertainment.
Yeah, it was fun. I think if I ever really got into drinking a lot again, I'd probably use that as like, okay, every time they say the F word, I will take a shot.
Oh my God.
You know, that's
you would have alcohol poisoning in like the first 10 minutes. They would have to like an ambulance would have to pick you up. Yeah, I think we were just so rattled by. Well, I said this on the show, like, we just did episode 2, but between episode 1 and episode 2, everything changed in that week.
Sure.
And it was just like, excuse me, we thought this was crazy, that we don't want to get sick and we don't want to hear that anybody else has passed away or people are at risk or we're worried about our kids or any of those things. And then, listen, and rightly so, space had to be created for Black Lives Matter. And I've always said this, just when you're dealing with one crisis, it attracts like a family reunion of all your unfinished business. Well,
right.
Honey, and this is unfinished business all over the world, particularly America. But, you know, racism is alive and well everywhere. So for us to open our big loud mouths for the good, I'm all for it. But this is, it's like what's going on. It's mythical. Like generations are going to read about this like, no, it's not true. Nah.
This right.
is so contrived. Like it would not, if this was a movie, it would not get a good review. So contrived.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like zero tomatoes and rotten tomatoes. Like, no, not even tomato. No. No, it's so contrived. So many holes in the story. It's so pedestrian. Crazy.
And yet, here we are, right?
and that's the narrative. And those are the facts, and we're trying to separate facts from truth, meaning those are the facts and what's the truth of – holding on to your connection to spirit and what we can't see. Yeah, and I didn't even know. My girlfriend pointed it out to me that overnight there was a fence built around the White House. Did you hear about that?
No. I thought there was already a fence around the White House.
But they put like a fence, meaning like they put like maybe a fence around the gates. Girl, I don't even know. My girlfriend, whose boyfriend is the judge, so they're very. I mean, I don't need to watch the news. I just talk to them for 10 minutes. I'm all caught up. Right. So you know how you have some people that they're so obsessed with the news that you get your news.
Oh yeah.
You know. So they. I'm very grateful for those people. I would add that to what I'm grateful for. People obsessed with the news so that I don't have to be. So she showed me some pictures on her phone. I'm like, oh my God! But what's so beautiful is that it became this virtual art gallery. Not virtual. It became an art gallery because this is a linked fence. So people would, after they protested, they would attach their protest signs. I love it. And shout out to the mayor of D.C. who said, I'm going to just put Black Lives Matter in big yellow street letters on the streets. And Obama Way or whatever, Obama Boulevard, Obama Way, like right on the road leading to the White House. I'm like, work, bitch. Yes, work. Yes. Love that. Good for D.C. So here we go. I know, right?
We do have, I'm looking here, we do have a request in the chat room from our friend Raven, who would like to get a birthday message, but we also have a caller with a hand raised. So I thought maybe we'd do the call first.
Let's do the call first, and then we'll do a message
Raven's birthday's tomorrow.
Okay, so, cool. Okay.
Of course we could do that. So let's do area code 434.
Hello.
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 Who is this?
This is Khalil. I'm calling from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hi. So I'm going to ask for permission to connect to your energy, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. I love people raised in the South. They're so polite. And if you can give your birthday, just the month and the day, please.
August 26, 1989.
August 26th. And give me your name again.
Khalil Reed.
Got it. Okay, how can we help today?
I was wondering, as far as me going on my trip to Virginia Beach, if I'll be able to go in the middle of June or the beginning of July or end of June.
Well, I'm going to direct this to Alisa because she's going to figure it out with your numbers. But I will say this. When you asked, just as you were asking the question, I feel that I don't feel any heaviness with that. Like, I think it should be fine, but I feel that there is are you having issues with one person in particular?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. So I'm feeling that there's something going on, and maybe I think energetically I'm getting from you that you're very kind-hearted and that you're not really wired the way a lot of other people are, meaning it wouldn't occur to you to go out of your way to be shady or to be reactive. Like, you don't have a short fuse. There's a kindness about you, and I think that maybe you've had a tendency to share maybe some of your feelings, that maybe you're a little more sensitive than this particular person. Am I sensing that? Is that, am I correct on that? Am I?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So thank you for the confirmation, because that means that you're allowing me to see into your energy. So I feel that in your question that there is a connection to this other person. So I would say, like, they have that expression for in poker, like, keep your cards close to your vest. That feel that you have a energetic boundary, like a shield of protection, especially with this person. Now, I'm not saying this guy is out to hurt you, but this person and you, you're wired very, very differently. And people get into our lives, whether it's complementary or it's conflict or a combination of the two, so that we can learn more about ourselves. So I think this trip is good. I would say that if you were thinking about having this person go with you or participate with you, it might, I feel energetically, may not be the best idea.
No.
To have him come along with you.
I definitely don't want him. I definitely don't want him to come along.
You don't want him to come along, right?
Right.
Well, okay, so listen, that's your intuition. So that's something, so this is showing you, and look, you don't know Alisa and I, okay? You're just meeting us now on the air for the first time. So
right.
Do you see how me not knowing anything about you, just picking up on the energy, see how that confirms your intuition?
Yeah.
So trust that. Trust that. So I'm going to turn this over to her to see what she picks up with your numbers, and we might circle back to me. But so my feeling is I think you can do the trip. You will be safe, but you got to have a boundary with this guy and not have him come with you.
Okay.
Fabulous.
That's pretty big. So
yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. That's a good, I mean – tell you what, Khalil, Liz is really good about picking up on energy, and it's
mm-hmm.
it's amazing to me the stuff that she picks up. So I would say, given your birth date, you're going into your birthday in a couple of months, and this personal year for you as you get into your birthday goes from a number one personal year, which started last year on your birthday, to a number two. So right now in numerology, we have a whole cycle of evolution and growth that goes through the numbers 1 through 9. So you are in the beginning of a whole new cycle of growth and development. And you're entering into this number two personal year. I think the reason why this stuff is coming up is you've already gotten into this whole new cycle, and you're having to really define for yourself who you are now. So all the stuff that happened last year, like whether it was last year before your birthday, last year after your birthday, it doesn't matter. There was probably a lot of big changes and transformations or things you had to let go of because you were at the ending of a cycle. And as you are now in this, well into your number one personal year, you're having to really like trying on some new clothes, you're trying on some new things, and you're trying to see what actually fits you now, because you have grown so much. And this is also looking at your relationships with other people. It's a reflection of how you are going to be treating yourself, like, your own self-talk, your choices, whether or not you feel you need to explain that to other people or not. Really how you speak of and about and to yourself is factoring in here. It's part of showing up and really be honest with what you're about and where you want to take yourself and what you want to develop. These are pretty big themes. And as you are emerging from this whole year of like really looking at who you are and coming up with some new goals to look forward to, you enter into this number two coming in August, number two personal year, which is about partnerships. It's about planting some seeds in terms of ideas and saying, well, these are out of this past year, these are the things that are really important to me, and I need to play these things out and see where that needs to, where that's going to lead me. And if they have enough substance to really stick to it. Right. So like when people are really planting ideas and planting big projects, you know, you start from the smallest bit of information and you really follow it and you see where that's going to lead you. And you have to be able to imagine what that's going to look like and play it out. And it takes time. And in the process, you're also really redefining what your role is in your group of friends and your family. And you're also going to see, you know, who else do you want to have with you? Because a lot of times as we're changing, a lot of people either don't want us to change or they don't get it, or you end up attracting other people who are like on board with that. They love it. So allow yourself that space. And I love what Liz was telling you. Trust your intuition. Because even if it shows you things that may be hard to look at, you can't ignore the internal feelings that causes it. Okay. So I say this because I think there are plenty of times when we kind of stuff down what we're feeling, like, I'll do it just to get along, you know, so you kind of take the hit. And what we're seeing now is so much has been stuffed down that it can't stay down there anymore. And you have to be able to speak your truth. You can figure out ways to communicate that, you know, hopefully in a way that doesn't like, tear down everything or, you know, burn bridges. But sometimes that is what happens. And you have to be willing to let go and allow for other people. Okay, you make your decision, I'll make mine. We always have ways to come around and deal with confrontation or conflict or a disagreement. But you have to be true to you. And right. Knowing where you stand helps you not be swayed by what other people think or, you know, to make other people feel comfortable. I think we're getting to that period of time where it's not about I need you to feel comfortable. There are times when that, like, you know, there are times when that's helpful, then there are times when that's actually harmful because you end up denying a part of who you are in the process. So, yeah, trust that intuition. So whatever you're planning for this trip, if it's your trip, then you should be able to organize whatever you want to be doing. But if it's, you know, if it's a group thing, you know, plan accordingly, you know, whether it means, you know, whatever that means, you know, if it means being sure you're surrounded by people that you know you can hang with, you know, keep those people close. If it means not having certain conversations, but trust what you need to be able to do and try it out, because this is new you, you know, like this is all about your growth and your expansion and who you are, and allow yourself those times and those opportunities to be who you are and try it out, and know that even if it feels uncomfortable, you'll feel better. Like you always feel better. Well, I should say most people will feel better when they have these hard discussions sometimes, or if they do something that kind of goes against the grain, just because you feel most of the pressure. Like you don't want to upset anybody, but then you're upset. So where does that leave everybody? You know, just it could be living a lie. So move it forward, trust your intuition, and you will end up developing your own way of being and as a result attracting people who are probably more along the lines of how you're wired and who get you, and you can appreciate that.
Well said. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to do that.
Okay, be specific. When you say I'm going to do that, what are you going to do? What's your takeaway?
I'm not going to try to please people if it's going to change who I am, and if it's going to, you know, harm me.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is a
trust
great,
my intuition.
Yes, that's a great first step. It never fails you. And then it becomes a muscle, and you always trust it. Even when you don't know why, just trust it. So I'm glad that you had the intuition to call this wacky podcast. So we appreciate that. And we're on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern Time. And feel free to give us a call when we're on the air and give us an update. But you're on the right track. Just the more you trust yourself, the more you'll get. It's like anything, you know, with the development. If you trust that muscle, it's going to become second nature. But the fact that you just thought, let me just call people I don't even know. You don't know us. I don't know these two girls. Hello? And let me just put it out there. And you asked a really great question, because it's not so much about the trip, but it's about honoring what you're feeling. And you were surely feeling a certain type of way. You had doubts, and now you probably have fewer doubts but more clarity, right?
Right.
That's great. Well, I'm so glad you called us, and please feel free to give us a call back with an update next time you come across us and we happen to be on the air.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take care.
Right.
Be well, and be safe. Be safe.
Yeah,
don't be messing
care.
Around. Okay?
Okay?
Coronavirus. All right. All right. Nope.
Take care.
Be careful. All right.
All right.
You know, I have to be a mom. I can't help it.
That's so funny.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad he called.
That's pretty cool.
No,
and,
because
you know,
go ahead. Go ahead.
You and I have been down to Virginia Beach.
Yes, we have.
That's a great place. It's a
I
great
love
place.
Virginia Beach. Yes.
But, yeah, gosh. Yeah, hanging out with
no.
people. You never know. You never know.
There are people out in these streets thinking everything's fine. I'm like, no, it's not. So,
right.
yes. So I love that. But with this, as he was asking the question, I got such this, like, frat boy energy that wasn't his.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, there's something going on with somebody else. I have to ask him. There's something
mm-hmm.
going on. It was like I could see it. So,
wow.
Yeah, so that was amazing. Okay, so going into, I wonder.
Oh, you know, I haven't calculated that. So
well,
I
well, she can. Well, you know what? She can do. We'll do her message first.
She's going
right.
into it too, as well. I think she's going into it too. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm ready with the database of messages when you guys are. So she'll just type in pick, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, Raven, so here we go.
So, the number associated with this message is 228, and this is the message that she picked. Even if the music picked it, it means it's the message that she needs to hear. Monitor your self-talk and how you communicate internally. This awareness will show the range of self-love or detachment. Learn to love yourself now. I'll read it again. Monitor your self-talk and how you communicate internally. This awareness will show the range of self-love or detachment. Learn to love yourself now. 228. Well, listen, thank you for picking this message, because we all need to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
All day. Like, how we talk to ourselves is not how we talk to other people. So thank you
right.
for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have two different filters. Like, unfiltered for ourselves, that maybe isn't the kindest, or we it's not the most acknowledging. And,
right.
You know, we're nicer to, like, the cashier at the supermarket than we are to ourselves sometimes. So, great message. Thank you for picking that. And I think I said 228 was the number.
Yeah, 228. And I like that those numbers end up equaling a 3 because that is about communication and expression. But, you know, the nuances in that message was, you know, it's self-talk. So what happens on the inside, it ends up being reflected on the outside at some point. It may not be right away, but at some point, you know, when you feel like you need to say it, then it probably ends up coming rushing out. And if you're, you know, if you're not used to that, the filter or the unfilter, then
right,
yeah, it. Then you have those consequences that you kind of deal with
right,
in terms of the relationships, and that's why the 2 is in there twice. So, you know, how we are supportive of other people, are we doing that for ourselves? You know, how we care about other people, are we doing that for ourselves? There's always the internal reflects the external, and sometimes we work the other way around. You know, it should be work both ways, where, you know, if things around you are calm and peaceful, sometimes feng shui can help you with that, you know, just
right,
doing a little bit of cleanup, you know, then is that also reflected within the inside? Sometimes it just depends on what catches your fancy and what motivates you. So it's interesting, the external or outside appearances may be like what you want to keep up, but inside you're a wreck.
Oh yeah, that would be, I would be the poster child for that one.
And then
yeah,
sometimes, you know, the person who's so quiet, you think, oh, you know, everything's fine going on for her because she never talks about anything.
Right.
But inside could be just a shambles, you know, and you just never know.
You never know.
It isn't about the appearances, but what's interesting is in that sequence of numbers, the 8 tells all. Like, the 8 is like, well, what's manifesting? Because that's sort of the end result of the things that you do that people can't see.
Correct.
As well as the things that you do that people do see.
Right.
Great sequence of numbers and a great message, because the accountability is ultimately, you know, it's going to be on the individual, on us, you know, for our world and for our point of view, but we're not separate from other people.
Right.
Even if you think you are, even if you think you live in isolation.
Right.
That are still connections. So,
right.
The work can be so deep, and then it can be so simple sometimes. You're like, oh, when you get it, you're like, oh, oh, maybe I won't be so careless or thoughtless with my words and my thoughts.
Right.
You know, I will bring love into it, and I'll include that for myself.
Right.
And it's not like everyone has to be a marshmallow every single time.
Right.
But you can also view vulnerability as a weakness.
Oh, absolutely. That's something that us very sensitive people have experienced. And when we understand like that, it's really strength, but it has been pivoted as weakness, as a way for others to deflect. That's a very good point. Yeah, vulnerability is not weakness at all, but it has been bullied as such.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, good point. Well said.
So, yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, she's like, love the message, thank you. She's so sweet. she had typed in her three things that she was grateful for earlier.
Oh, yay.
Grateful for all my wonderful friends,
mm-hmm.
Alisa and Liz. Grateful for the compassion I know I have for the world now, and grateful for the love that I receive as well as give each and every day. That's wonderful.
Beautiful. Well, yeah. We're grateful for especially our listeners that have been with us for a decade. She's one of them. Hell yeah, we're grateful for them. Absolutely. I mean, to witness on both sides the growth and evolution of our longtime listeners that are still with us, and for them to sort of see how this show has evolved and is continuing to evolve. Like, this show has really changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I would say
yeah.
so.
Yeah. We're just letting it do its thing.
And I would say, in light of birthdays, yesterday would have been Lois's birthday.
Stop it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Gemini, of course. Of course, she's a Gemini.
83? Yeah, she would have turned 83 yesterday.
Wow, happy birthday, Lois.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, happy birthday.
That's amazing. So, have you been in touch with her husband at all? No.
No. No, I haven't. And there's a part of me that's like, I really do need to give him a call.
Well, maybe
but I think
this would
when
be...
I think about it, it's like in the middle of the night, or you know, like I need to do that.
Maybe it would be good timing, you know, because it is her birthday just happened, so it might be, you know what I mean, a good entree point. But anyway, yeah, I was wondering about that. What's his first name?
Keith.
Keith, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Keith.
Wow, amazing. Anyway, crazy. Yeah. So that, like now the show is, like, technically named after her. Like, who knew?
Right?
Excuse me. Girl, I don't know you.
Oh, you know, this past weekend, was it Saturday? Saturday night, had a crazy dream.
Oh.
And even in a dream, because it was a dream within a dream. And
yeah, those are crazy. Mm-hmm.
And even the dream within a dream, I was like,
wow.
I need to call Liz. Like, I needed to call you so that you could, like, either make sure that I was safe or something like that, or you wake me up. I wrote it down, but I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to sit on it for a little bit. I know the impulse was to give you a call, but I'm like, let me just see. But the dream starts off where I'm at a house, and I think it's my brother Alvin's house, but it's not the house that I know. Just know it's the house. And so a house that it's just one level. And it seemed like he was having a gathering, like he was having people over.
Okay.
And I was there. I didn't see Isabel. I didn't see my sister-in-law. Just, you know, I kind of maybe barely glanced at Alvin, but there were other relatives in the house, or I should say Filipinos, but I don't know, but I'm assuming they're relatives because that's just sort of, you know, Alvin's like, let's open the house to anybody. He would probably have just relatives.
Right.
But they were people I don't know who they were, but they were.
But you didn't know them.
They were mothers, I think. And I remember because they brought a bunch of their kids, and there was a kid just, you know, like boys, you know, running around playing. I'm like, okay, we have people here, okay. And I know I remember seeing my other brother Aldo walk in, like he does. He's walking in, he's carrying a case of beer, had his little hat on. Kind of did one of those heads up, like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, okay, and Aldo's here. That's great. And he kind of wanders to another part of the house. And I'm thinking, well, that's crazy. You know, like, wow, that's great that he's here. But what, we haven't seen him. So I thought, well, maybe I'll go try to find him, you know, and say hi. So I'm going through the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, and I know that there's like a patio, which, you know, you've been to the house. There's not really a patio, the old house.
Right.
But in this one, there's like a patio back there. It's nice, but it's like kind of set up for a party, but I don't see anybody. I can hear the voices, but I don't see them. All right. Well, I guess I'll just look around, and went into another part of the house that seems like it would be the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, the room is different. Like, this room wasn't here before. Like, it's now like a dining room or a sitting room of some sort, just like an extra space, but it's not this wasn't here before. Did he like convert the garage, which even in the real house doesn't have a garage, did he convert this space from something to something else? Like, this wasn't here, but still I don't see them. I can kind of hear them. I kind of, in my head, imagined it was like a bunch of the male cousins just kind of hanging out, drinking beers, but I don't get to see them.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to like my room or the room where I'm staying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's not really my bedroom, but I know I'm just staying there temporarily, but I'm just hanging out, and I go to like lie down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where it's that dream within a dream. Cause I actually don't know if all the other people told you,
mm-hmm,
happened in the dream within the dream, because
mm-hmm,
I remember feeling, and I've felt this feeling a few times before in other dreams, where it's that heaviness of, oh gosh, now I got to wake up again. And I'm waking up and I'm in the same place, in that same house, but it's really hard for me to wake up. And in reality, I had hit snooze a lot of times. And I was so tired. I just slept in. I'm guessing it was Saturday. I just slept in. I was so tired. But I could not get up. But then that feeling, that heaviness of not being able to wake up, and then kind of walking around, sleepwalking, kind of like stuff has been changing around me. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not waking up? So I remember,
mm-hmm,
looking to the side. I'm like still in this bedroom on the bed. I'm looking like around me, and I look to my right, and there's like these like dolls, which not like, you know, like Barbie dolls or they're still kind of creepy, I think, dolls. But this one was like a doll of an old man.
Oh wow.
Who was asleep. So I'm like, what is that? And then I'm like, as I'm freaking out about that, like, what is that? Then I'm looking in the periphery past that is another doll that gets up and starts walking towards me. And it looks kind of angry. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm scared, but I'm also mad. And I'm like, well, this is a little doll. I took the foot and I stuck it in its mouth. And it's not like an anatomically correct doll. It was like a hobo.
You stuck the doll's foot in its mouth?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I actually tried to like tear it up, but I can't. So I'm like, you know. But I remember thinking, oh man, I got to get out of here. Like, I got to make sure I'm awake. And that's why I was thinking of you in this dream. I'm like, you know, where's my phone? Like, maybe I should call Liz, because she can wake me up.
Wow.
Or make sure that I'm okay. Anyway, that was part of it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. All right. So, damn. Okay, so it's interesting because you say it's one level. So the house is one level. So the good news with that is that your focus is not nearly as split as it once was, that you've been doing the work your whole life, really, to level things to one level, okay? So, and with this gathering, you didn't see your brother's family meaning his family of choice, okay?
Right.
Wife and daughter. But you saw other relatives, people that looked like you, so what, that you didn't really recognize except for your oldest brother. But you could, but to me, you saw people that you recognized
mm-hmm.
as being relative, literally and figuratively, relative to you.
Right.
So again, that ties into things leveling out because you've been doing. You've been grounding yourself. You've been doing the ancestral healing. So you're going to, you may not know who they are, but you recognize them coming from the same ancestral bloodline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't relevant that you knew them or not because it was relative. And in seeing the mothers with their children, so that feels safe, that feels... It doesn't feel dangerous. And boys playing, it's that energy of in your household growing up, it was always this double standard. And you're there in your little coveralls and on your bike and going in the mud and all those things. So almost like a house divided, so to speak.
Mm.
But now everything's at one level. And then when your older brother walks in, he goes to another part of the house. Well, that's what he does, right? He's there, but he's not there. That's
right.
That's what it is. And when you are trying to find him, now he really represents someone that is like on their own path, regardless of how that impacts other people.
Right.
Someone that's just blazing their own trail. So what's interesting is that you go try to find him. There wasn't strife in that. It was kind of like, oh, like kind of like attracting like, so to speak.
Mm.
So it was like this curiosity, almost like, okay, well, I want to follow the energy or the spirit of one who is on their own path without needing to explain or think about it. So there's been like this dichotomy about just doing and thinking. And I think that's what a lot of this has to do with, right? Mm. And then it's interesting because, again, your whole vibe is very grounded and very calm and very unified. So even when you see the patio that's set up for a party, nobody's there. But that, to me, is symbolic of the house of our spirit. What houses our spirit? And you know what? We can set it up for a party, and the only person that needs to be there is us. It's okay, because it wasn't like you were upset or anything. Like, oh, it's set up for a party. No one's there. We're like, okay, it didn't affect you. It didn't impact you negatively. And then the dining room, there's an extra space that wasn't there before. It's because you're creating a space that wasn't there before within yourself. So we're really speaking about your organism, your house, right, that houses your spirit and your soul and your heart and who you are. And the dining room, a dining room symbolizes community, unity, family, togetherness. It's nurturing. It's food. It's communal, all those beautiful, wonderful things that we start having that with ourselves and all things ripple out as a result of that vibration being continually raised. So basically you said the space was being converted. Like, did he convert the garage? I don't know, whatever. It's like, well, you're converting your space. That's been this whole path that you've been on. And especially recently with quarantine and everything else where you're really taking your health into your own hands, you're paying close attention. You are curious about certain things, doing your research. So it's all of this conversion of energy. And it's interesting because you can hear, but you don't see. Like, you could hear the other voices. But you know what I see throughout all of this dream, Alisa, is that you're okay with all of it. It wasn't like you were in a panic or you were running away or you stumbled. You're like, oh, okay. And I love that because that to me shows growth that you're not reactive. You're just going with it. You're being present, right?
Right. Right.
And then when you go to the room where you're staying to lie down, it's almost where you so much of your for your whole life since you're a young child, so much has taken place while you're sleeping, where it's almost like you have two lives. You have your waking life where you're thinking, and you're so exhausted from thinking, your brain is like, bitch, I just, and then you're out. How can you function? So that's why you're such a profound sleeper, because it's you got to recharge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then what's so great, though, is in that heaviness, there's the propensity to want to sleepwalk and go in between two states. And I think that's where you're finding yourself now, where you're navigating in between two states, the dream state and the waking state. And because we've been turned on our ear with the shutdown, and although things are opening up, it's never going to be what it was before, nor who we are in our organisms of our body, mind, and spirit. It's a new paradigm. It's a reset. So I think this is all very emblematic of the reset and how you are emerging moving forward. But I think it's almost like we're going into book two because book one is closed. Once this virus hit, we're like, oh, no, honey. Okay, that's done. It's a new book, right?
Mm.
And then so you're in between navigating between these two states, like trying to wake up and the heaviness of the sleep state, but then the propensity to want to be in the sleepwalking state. So awake but not quite fully awake. But we're all in that state. We're awake but not fully awake. That's all of us. It's not just you, right? And then you look to the side on the right, and you see the old man doll that's asleep. Now, it's interesting because on the right side of the brain, is it creative or is it linear? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, right side's creative.
Okay, perfect.
Right side of the brain is creative.
So you're looking to the right, but usually when you look to the right, it means the opposite side of the brain, right? So you're looking to the right. So that's, again, going to that to the left brain, which is the analytical, and you see that's asleep. You want to put that asleep, right? So it's the opposite side of the brain. And then you see the other doll, which wakes up. And, of course, that is frightening.
Yeah.
You know, but basically it's emblematic of a house being divided, right? So right now, the house of your organism, your soul, your spirit, it's divided, but it's really not. It just looks that way so you can make sense of it. And it's interesting because you literally did take matters into your own hand by sticking the doll that was kind of like having its own mind of its own. Right?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's good. You stuck its foot in its mouth, and that expression, that's an old expression. I stuck my foot in my mouth, meaning like you said something that you didn't mean, or you said something without thinking. Right? So saying something without thinking, and that's very interesting. But you took matters into your own hands. So I think that shows the shift, that you're shifting, you know. And, of course, you're going to think, well, maybe Liz can help because you're only going to go to the best. I'm kidding. But I think it's a very powerful dream. So, yay. So there, I think that's a great, great. No, yeah, my pleasure. I think it's a, yeah, girl. I think that's like a Liz dream. That's crazy. That's one of my tamer dreams. What you just had, I could eat that dream for breakfast. So good for you. Good for you. But that's great, though. To me, it's showing great energetic vibrational progress. So you're on the right track. That's great. All right, cool.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah. No, I love it. If you guys need to get a hold of us, you can email loablend@gmail.com. And remember, if you want the link or you want to know more about the crazy podcast Coping in NYC, you can email loablend@gmail.com and I'll send you a link. And this show is scheduled, but it's not for the faint of heart. This show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, stay safe. Take good care of yourselves. Let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Take care, everybody. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Okay, bye.